A new exhibition, now up at the International Photography Hall of Fame and Museum in Grand Center, opened last week and runs through the end of the year. Silver Seas and Odyssey features the work of Ernest Brooks, who's been described as a trailblazer in the development of underwater photographic equipment and technique. Ernie Brooks, welcome to Cityscape and to St. Louis.
Well, thank you for having me with you.
I understand it's been a few years since you've been here.
1960 was the last time I flew over St. Louis, and it's grown, but the quality is here, remains here.
I hope you have some time to play tourist while you're here.
I shall. Thank you.
You're just back from the North Pole. Were you there with your camera?
Yes. Ocean Geographic sponsored the expedition. I had 60 people on board, glaciologists, photographers, science, artists, people like Weiland, who paint whales around the world, Dr. Sylvia Earle. We were photographing as much as we could on the climate change that's happening on our planet. In 2010, we did Antarctica, and this year, 2015, we did the Arctic, the high Arctic.
Must have been a fascinating trip.
Fascinating trip. Beautiful part of the world.
You've spent decades documenting the ocean environment, and what's really so compelling to me as compared with the subjects that other photographers examine is that what you shoot underwater is something that most of the rest of us never even see. And that's kind of what it makes it unique, to me anyway.
That's what I enjoy about it, and being able to communicate with your audience and people like yourself. And especially when you can do this with photography, which can be read in any language, any country, any language. And that's what I intend to do with all my images.
No language barrier.
So it's understood. No language barrier.
Well, in this exhibition, your work, I think, primarily focuses on locations in Antarctica, Asia, and the South Pacific. So is there a reason for that?
Yes, it is. It's to show the world that we've hardly really seen before, especially the South Pacific areas and Asia that's coming on very, very strong in the world market, and to give the viewing audience a chance to observe what I see being there for the first time, and to do it in black and white so there's no misconception.
I'm glad you brought that up, that you do work in black and white.
That's it.
Which, I mean, some photographers do these days, but not most. And believe me, I'm no expert on underwater photography, but I see a lot in National Geographic, and it's beautiful, but it's always in color.
Those are my students that I've trained, David Dublay for National Geographic and Brian Scarry and those people. But I chose black and white because I love the simplicity of it, and it works well for me in exhibiting.
Is part of it your age? And I mean that respectfully, because when you were probably getting into the business, I mean, serious photographers worked in black and white.
The mentorship is what it is. Ansel Adams was my mentor. Dr. Hans Haas was my mentor. All in black and white in the early 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I just like the power of black and white and the simplicity of the statements in black and white, plus the quality of the work for the future in black and white. It's permanent.
You mentioned Ansel Adams, and I've read how you've been compared to Ansel Adams. But I get the feeling you're compared to him not just because your work is in black and white. There are other reasons?
We see the same. We focus on the same things that are really important.
What do you mean?
That have the quality, that have the intent statement. If you look at Ansel Adams, you look at Yosemite, when he photographed Half Dome, the lighting, the time of day, the season. The same thing with my underwater work. It's in the lighting, and it's the time of day, it's a season where it all comes to fruition, whether it's the animal life or the scene, the reefs.
Well, in this exhibition, I think you have 30-odd, almost 40 pieces of work at the International Photography Hall of Fame and Museum. What do you look for when you go down under? I mean, do you have a subject in mind?
Always. Always. The exhibit that is here is my work from up before 2000, the year 2000. A lot of it is on animal life, on sea lions and harbor seals and sharks, diving in extreme conditions on the planet. But the real focus is the beauty of our oceans. And we have to preserve that. And that's one of my missions in life also.
Well, how concerned are you about the conditions of our oceans?
Well, I'm on commissions to ban plastic bags in the world. When we go to Midway Island and see what's happened in the Pacific Gyre or the Atlantic Gyre or the Indian Gyre, all the oceans of the world have plastics. And in the currents and the winds and the condition, it all gathers together. And it's microscopic, and it gets into the very basics of life, and not only in fish and wildlife and the fowl. And we need to stop doing that. We need to find ways to eliminate that. And one is to ban plastic, period. Plastic bags in shopping that you need. We've just initiated that in the state of Washington. And it's a wonderful thing to see it happening, step by step.
What are some of the other changes that are occurring under the surface of the water that someone like me might not be aware of that concerns you?
Temperature change since 1915. Plus 2 degrees worldwide. What's being caused by? A lot of it by the changes of our season, the aging of our planet, and also with some pollutants. The carbon footprint is a perfect example. In the high Arctic, just 2 weeks ago, almost to the North Pole, you see this haze layer, this yellow haze layer coming from China, staying over the North Pole area and over Iceland and Greenland and Norway and Finland and those parts of the world. And it's causing a temperature increase. And that needs to be identified. That carbon footprint is there. It's real.
You must find this whole climate change debate amusing to some point. And it wasn't so long ago. I would say less and less people discount global warming. But there was a time when a lot of people said it wasn't even real.
That's true.
So was that something that frustrated you for a long time?
There are changes in everything on our planet. From the time it was first created billions and billions of years ago. But we're going through an era in our lifetime, your lifetime and mine, and those that are being born today, where the changes are a lot more dramatic. And we want to know why. And that's science. And science needs to really enter the picture. True science from all countries, not just the United States, but all countries to identify that.
Do you feel like our leaders here in this country and perhaps other countries are starting to take that more seriously now?
Well, certainly countries like Germany that are solar, that are wind-powered, that are using LED systems to reduce that. Some countries are very, very far behind, and they're still polluting our rivers and waterways, and those need to be addressed.
We're talking to Ernie Brooks about his exhibition, Silver Seas and Odyssey, at the International Photography Hall of Fame and Museum, which is up through the end of the year. Some of the subjects I see in your photographs, I recognize. Marine life, you know, doing their thing, whatever it might be. But there are some others that I wasn't really clear on, and there was one called Evidence of Man, and another one, Sea Pearls.
Okay.
And I just wasn't sure what they were.
Okay. Evidence of Man, a beautiful story. What is the evidence of man in the ocean? Man has to breathe. Man has to breathe gases, oxygen, through a regulator system to dive. And so evidence of man is nothing more than an air bell coming out of his regulator, rushing toward the surface and expanding and breaking apart. Air expands. You probably have to be told that to really understand it. If you're a diver, like in St. Louis, we have many, many dive shops in St. Louis. They understand it at a glance what it is. That's an air bell from a diver below.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that you did mention. And the other?
Was sea pearls. You had a couple of those.
Okay. That's Macrocystis. That's kelp. Macrocystis. And that's what grows in the oceans, in 85% of the oceans. And it's like the redwoods of the sea. Those are our plant life. And those are the little sea bells that you see. That's all they are.
Uh-huh. I'm curious about the actual dives that you take to capture these images. How far down can you go? How long can you stay down? I'm wondering about lighting. Is lighting only good so many feet down? I mean, there's a lot of technical things I'm curious about.
Well, it's no different than anything else in life. I mean, I don't dive below 100 feet. My work mostly is in shallow water, in 30 to 45 feet of water. Of course, I've dove deep before. I've been on submarines deep. I've been diving deeper when I was younger. But when I'm older, I'm within the limits. And we have professional organizations that create the environment for you that you stay within. Scuba diving is a very, very safe sport. and it becomes safer every year.
And what about light as far down as you go? Now, all the photographs I saw of you looked like it was natural light to me.
It's 100% natural light.
Yeah, that's what it looked
like.
I've
never used strobe or flash underwater.
But some people do.
Oh, most people do. I don't. I like to use I use a light from our day star, the sun, to light all of my subjects, to make all my statements.
And how long will you stay down and how many images might you collect in one dive?
One or two.
One or two?
Well, I'm not a rapid shooter. I was raised, remember, on film. And even though I shoot digital today, I might make one or two exposures during a dive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't stay down for a long period of time. But I do observe, and I observe light, and I observe phenomenon, and try to create an image that everybody can understand.
You mentioned Ansel Adams a little while ago. And your father was a photographer and had a school of photography and had some sort of relationship with Ansel Adams, didn't he?
Definitely. My grandmother was a photographer. My uncle, a landscape. My dad, a flower photographer. Ansel Adams hired many students from my father's school, Brooks Institute in Santa Barbara. He served as their mentors, as he did with me.
And I think he lived near your family in Carmel.
Oh, yeah. And I have an exhibit with Ansel Adams today in the world called Fragile Waters. And it's wonderful to be invited to share the same stage with him.
What, Ernie, have you brought to underwater photography as far as development of technology or style, perhaps?
Probably style more than anything else. However, I really enjoy optics. I like the science of photography, so... My underwater images are with precision optics. That's why they're sharp. That's why they're crisp. I use camera systems that are larger format than the little small systems.
Mm-hmm.
I like to make a big statement and as large as I can. If you were to go to Paris or to Nice, France today to the airport, I have images hanging in the airports that are 90 feet tall, 30 feet wide of sharks. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And they're in black and white.
Do you ever fear for your safety when you're in that environment?
Never. No, I never have. No. No, and the animals do know that when you have behavior with them. If you look at my sea lions and you look at my sharks, you can see it in their eye and their expressions. There's a lot of trust. They can read your heartbeat. Sharks can read your heartbeat, your temperature, and your behavior. And once that's done... It's a beautiful, beautiful world.
You know, I always felt that way with dogs. You know, you can kind of communicate with dogs and get a sense of it. And you're saying it's sort of the same thing with the underwater creatures.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, the sea lions that you'll see in my exhibit, they come at me wild at first. And all of a sudden, they're calm. And they're looking eye to eye to you. And it's a beautiful experience.
Is it ever hard to get a shot down under? I mean, I don't know what the water really is like 40 feet down. Is it hard to keep a camera steady?
No. Not when you practice it, you know, and not when you're careful with your exposures too. And you have to figure, I was raised on 8x10 camera. That was a one exposure camera.
Uh-huh. I want to go back to something in conclusion that I think you alluded to before. You were talking about protecting the underwater environment, that sort of thing. And I know you feel that humans are the only advocates for the sea. I think you've said that. What exactly do you mean?
We're really the only ones that are accountable for what's happened in the past. I mean, here you are in a city that has a magnificent river that runs by it that flows into the ocean. Anything that's deposited in that river winds up in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of us, just each one of us, if we could do our part, can make a big difference.
So don't discard those plastic bags, right?
Right.
Ernie Brooks, Silver Seas and Odyssey is an exhibition of his work. It's at the International Photography Hall of Fame and Museum. That's on Olive Street in Grand Center. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and that's up to the end of the year. And you can find out more on our website about that. I understand, Ernie, before you go, that part of your time these days, or half the year, whatever it is, living in New Zealand?
Well... I established a photographic school in Auckland, New Zealand in 1985, and the government decided they wanted to do something for me in return. And what could be better than having a little plot of land in the South Island on Lake Te Anu in Queenstown?
And what do you do for fun up there?
I look at 35,000 sheep, and they're not mine. What do I do for fun? It's a land of the long white cloud. It's peaceful. It's very peaceful.
That's photographer Ernie Brooks. Thank you so much, Mr. Brooks, for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.